Hi, this is Pastor Greg, and you're listening to Chosen Generation Radio. Get more at ChosenGenerationRadio.com. That's Chosen Generation Radio, where no topic is off limits and everything filtered through biblical glass.
My passion is the fight for freedom. My father fought for World War II defending our country. Today, we are no longer fighting with guns. Instead, we are fighting an ideological battle for control of our country by contributing to causes that support your constitutional rights. I am Patriot Mobile.
Sexual predators and comprehensive sex education both break down inhibitions. That's what they start with. They also gain trust with the child and then slowly start to get them towards sexual activity.
Anything goes. You are teaching children adult child sex. You're teaching transgender issues. Children are moldable and influenced by that.
They said, okay, now we need you and your team to be able to explain what homosexuality is to a four-year-old student.
To introduce this kind of material at that age, frankly, it's child abuse.
You're going to teach our children that it's okay for any two children of any age, of any sex, to have sexual intercourse with each other as long as two components are present. One's using a condom and they both give consent. Did I hear that correctly?
It's not a neutral venue. There's no such thing. Okay, the schools are doing your job. They are discipling your children, but they're not discipling them in the faith of Jesus Christ.
It's only the exceptional child that even survives that system. Most do not survive. Most have not survived.
They believe that children are sexual from birth and that they deserve and have the right to be sexually active and to seek sexual pleasure. And if anyone is stopping them from that, then you are judging and oppressing them.
Even kindergarten now, they're wanting to teach them more and more perverse information and acts and put that into the children's minds. And once that poison is in a child's mind, it doesn't leave. They'll always remember what they learned. And it's by design, it's orchestrated.
In my humble opinion, it will be worse before it gets better.
Hi, I'm Tim Sheff, a certified natural health practitioner of over 40 years. I want to introduce you to a product that changed my life. The product's called Vibe, available at cgrwellness.com. I thought I was on a good nutritional program before I discovered Vibe. I was taking the traditional vitamin mineral tablets, wasn't really feeling any difference. So I tried Vibe. Vibe is an all-in-one vitamin mineral supplement. It's a liquid multivitamin. It's cold-pressed, whole-food sourced, non-radiated, gluten-free, and has no pasteurization. Vibe is like fresh juicing without all the work. It supports four areas of the body: cardiovascular health, immune health, anti-aging, and healthy cell replication. Vibe is available in a 32-ounce bottle for home use or a very handy 1-ounce travel packet for life on the go. The first time I tried Vibe, I had more energy in about 20 minutes. I started thinking clear. Even believe I slept better. Get yours today at cgrwellness.com. Coupon code ChosenGenRadio at checkout and receive $20 off your first order of $50 or more. That's cgrwellness.com. Coupon code ChosenGenRadio. Get yours today.
These statements have not been evaluated by the U.S. Food and Drug Administration. Any of the products do not treat, reduce, cure, or prevent disease.
Welcome to Chosen Generation with your host, Pastor Greg Young.
But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should shew forth the praises of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy.
And now, Chosen Generation, where no topic is off limits and everything is filtered through biblical glasses. And now, here's your host, Pastor Greg.
There we go. All right. Welcome to the program. Good to have you back. Thank you. Hour number two, or hour number three, however you want to count it. But at any rate, it is our final hour together. Bottom of the hour, we will be having a service for our orphans in India. We're handing out clothing to our orphans in India today, and I'm very excited that we're going to be doing that. So you'll be able to bear witness to that with us at the bottom of the hour. If you missed any portions of last hour, the audio is already up. And we had an interview with Christian Watson, a very informative interview with him. And then an interview with Luke Macias of Defend Texas Liberty about the challenges we're facing here, and also about just the Ken Paxton, the myths and the lies. And the reality is that you know, Ken Paxton has been attacked because of his political conservative leanings. That's it. It's a political hit job, and it's not just being done by Republicans, or by Democrats. It's being done by members of the Republican Party who opposed his reelection. And so it is trying to unwind the will of the people of Texas. All right, joining me now, the former senator from the formerly, is it, I guess, sort of, formerly great state of Colorado. God, that I know. I don't know. We'll ask him if it's acceptable to say. I want to welcome to the program my good friend, the former senator, back when it was for sure a great state, Mr. Ted Harvey. Ted, welcome. Good to have you. Thanks for being with me today. I appreciate it.
Well, good morning, my friend. Thank you for having me on. I appreciate it.
So would we say that it is the formerly great state of Colorado and maybe trying to get back there again? I don't know, maybe.
Well, I still say it's the greatest state in the entire union. Politically, the Democrats have a supermajority in the House. They're one vote away from the supermajority in the Senate, and we have one of the most liberal governors in the country in Jared Polis. But the state itself and the people itself, that's still a great state. I just don't know how we have the political situation that we have today. It's ridiculous.
It's really quite puzzling, quite honestly, because there's some fantastic Christian ministry there. There are some wonderful people. My dad was there up until his passing. And it's a beautiful state as well. I mean, as far as, you know, aesthetics and skiing and outdoor stuff and just in general, it's a gorgeous state. Of course, the liberal policies are ruining all of that as well. Unfortunately, it's so bizarre. They claim that their climate change policies are all environmentally healthy, and yet everything that they do destroys the environment.
Well, you look at downtown New York City, downtown San Francisco, Portland. It looks exactly the same way as downtown Denver. What the Democrats have done in the city of Denver is atrocious, and they just keep doubling down on the same horrific policies that's creating humanitarian crises across the country. And, not only did they just pass medical marijuana and then pass recreational marijuana 10 years later, they're passing laws to legalize mushrooms and psychedelic drugs and everything like that. That's just inviting very unhealthy, sick people to come to our state and be homeless on the streets of downtown Denver. And the politicians and the voters continue to do that. It's creating a humanitarian crisis here in Denver, and we've never had that before.
So to that end, we had a debate of sorts last night between individuals that are professing to be running for the office of President of the United States that purport to be representing the Republican Party. And I contend, I think we both contend, the party is not going to fix the country. But we are left with two choices, more or less, relative to a party that we would support based on our principles and ideals, and the Republican Party, as a biblical constitutionalist, is the closest to my ideals of the two political parties. So, therefore, I am left with, you know, trying to have an influence on who might be the candidate that represents the party that has ideals that are closest to the ones that I hold dear.
Well, the parties are made up of you and me. We are the parties, and we, whether you like it or not, we have a two-party system. So you have to decide what party you're going to become activated in and try to influence the party and influence the direction of the politicians who are running for office and get elected from that party and be involved in the primaries. And yes, the Republican Party in general has a philosophy in their platform that is far more inclined to my positions. I've been a delegate to 4 of the last 5 national conventions. I worked very hard to make sure that our platform was very, very, very conservative, but we have to hold our politicians to that platform. And if they stray from the platform, then we have nobody else to blame but ourselves. And we are a representative form of government, and they're supposed to represent us. And if they don't, we should throw them out of office. And I'm very passionately committed to making sure that we hold our politicians in the Republican Party even more accountable to the principles of liberty than I am to the Democrat Party.
You mentioned that, you know, constitutional republic. Of all the candidates that were up there last night, there really was only one who raised up the Constitution at any given point and suggested that decisions that are made needed to be made in alignment with the Constitution. One of the arguments that I watched was the one about the issue of abortion. And while I am 100% pro-life, I do not believe that we should have a federal law that outlaws it. I am appalled, as is Tim Scott, as are many, that there are states like New York that purport the evil that they do and live that out. It is absolutely horrific to me. But I lay the burden and the responsibility at the feet of the people. It is the people of the state of New York who are going to have to answer to God for that. It is the people of the state of Washington that are going to have to answer to God for that. And under our constitutional republic, it is the responsibility of we the people to change it, and subsequently, if we don't like it, then don't live in that state. I mean, it's the same thing that I would say to those that regarding the issue of marriage. We should not have a federal same-sex marriage mandate. We have states that have a constitutional amendment that says marriage is between a man and a woman. Those states should have the right to uphold what the people have voted for in their state. And if people don't like that, they can either attempt to change it within the state or move to a state that believes differently, like the Mormons moved to Utah for the purpose of polygamy back in the day. I'm just saying that you live in the state where you agree with the laws that are there, you fight for the laws that you want, and you reach a point where you say, okay, I can't live under this kind of leadership anymore, I'm going to move to another state.
I would agree with you on half of that.
Okay.
In the case of same-sex marriage, you do have a right to be able to move freely across state lines and go wherever you want. But with regards to an unborn baby, they don't have that right.
I understand.
Just like slaves in the South didn't have the right to go to another state if they didn't like the slavery they were in Alabama. But the federal government, the sole reason why government exists in the first place, is the only reason why government exists in the first place, is to protect the civil liberties of its citizens and to make sure that one individual is not hurting or killing or enslaving another individual and denying them of their civil liberties. And with regards to abortion, we cannot have a patchwork of states in this United States of America where in one state you can kill a person and hold them responsible for the sins of their parents and kill them, and in another state you outlaw that. The reason why the federal government is there, and we lived this out in the Civil War, is to say that the government, the federal government, will protect the civil liberties of all of the citizens of all of the states. And with regards to abortion, I believe that is the sole responsibility of the federal government to say, no, you cannot kill babies in New York and then be prohibited from killing babies in Kansas. Are the United States of America, and we protect the civil liberties of all Americans, regardless of what state they live in.
Then do we not then need to elect members of Congress and members of the Senate? And we have a majority, by the way. I mean, we have a majority of the people within states that hold to the values that we're talking about. So do we not then need, and that's part of the issue. We don't get of the, 435 members of Congress?
Yep.
Okay. We have a majority of those. If we actually had a clean, righteous election, I suppose, that's another issue. But if we had a clean, righteous election, we would have a majority of those individuals who would then put forth a bill that they would vote on and pass, that would then go to the Senate, where we would again have that majority who would put on and vote and pass and present to a president either a ban on abortion or a 6 week or whatever that might be, whatever that's going to look like, and then the president could sign it. And that would be the appropriate constitutional process for doing that. And under that auspices, I would agree wholeheartedly, 100%, that and I would fight for that. But again,
that's what I'm arguing for.
Yep.
I'm never going to argue it is a state's rights issue to kill fellow Americans. And we have way too many people on our side of the aisle, and you articulated it 5 minutes ago, that are articulating that it is a state's rights issue. And murdering unborn babies and murdering unborn murdering American citizens is not a state's rights issue. That's why the federal government exists. And I believe in the next 25, 50, 100 years, we will have this argument again. And I believe that like we did in the Civil War, we will either be going into a civil war or we will have just what you outlined, Congress coming forward and saying that we will pass a law to outlaw it. Or you will have this Supreme Court rule that it is unconstitutional to allow it in states. But I don't believe we can have this patchwork of laws where it's legal to murder babies in one state and not illegal in another state. And eventually this horrific moral clash, just like in the Civil War, will come to a situation where it's untenable, and we will have to solve this problem, whether in the courts or congressionally, to make sure that this stops. How long will that be? I don't know. But I think it has to be done because we can't have it continue the way it is.
The root of it, and I know we're kind of off, but it's okay. The root of it, though, really, it goes back to the moral belief system of the country as a whole. Because if we didn't have the sexualization of children in public school, if we weren't pushing pornographic materials, if we weren't pushing the Kinsey concept, which is just absolutely insane to me, that we are promoting in our schools the idea that six-month-old babies should be exposed to sexual orgasms because that is the basis for the research that Kinsey did, and it is the basis for the sex education system that our nation has embraced. And so,
without a doubt, but that is a symptom of a secularist society, and our founding fathers put in place a constitution which would protect us from a legal perspective from that kind of choices that individual states are making on their state basis on school education and stuff like that. I would argue that the education system in the United States is lost, and we have no ability to take it back. I would argue that every Christian in this country should be taking their kids out of public education and not allowing them to continue to get funding, because they get funding based on the headcount in October of every year,
right?
Based on the number of kids that are in there. And I think every Christian in this country needs to pull their kids out of the public education system tomorrow and deny them that headcount going into those schools until we get true transformation of our public school system through vouchers and allowing kids to go to the schools that are best for them individually. We should deny them our tax dollars for what I believe is a brainwashing, demonic
indoctrination. Yeah. In indoctrination on so many different levels.
Yes.
On so many different levels.
So many different levels.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I agree with you. I mean, I think, but I think that's the problem. And I think when it comes to the issue of abortion, then you also have, because so long as you have a push towards, you know, encouraging 9-year-olds to have sex, you're going to end up with these babies.
Yeah.
And we can, on a federal, on a national level, say we are no longer going to allow, there's no longer going to be abortion. Now we have 9-year-old girls, 10-year-old girls that are going to be delivering children.
Yep.
Because of the education, because of the education system that exists today. And now the question becomes, now where do those kids go? What do we do with those babies? It is a massive issue. Gianna Jessen and I, 20 some odd years ago, had, you know, we were talking about this, and we brought in, adoption agencies and so on. And we did probably about a 10 segments where we recorded talking about man on the street interviews with people in LA and different parts of the country and so on. It was 20 years ago. I mean, it was a major undertaking just to have those conversations and try to streamline. The adoption process is horrific. Horrific.
Yep. Yep. I served on a committee that tried to streamline Colorado's adoption process here. And I think we probably have 700, 800 kids that are on our foster care rolls that are desperately waiting to get a permanent home.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, which is worse, being in our foster care system today that's being run by the government or being out on the streets. I mean, it's pretty scary, some of the stuff that's going on in our foster care system. And our states are allowing some of these repulsive things to happen. We need to reform that, what we're doing in our foster care system. We also need to streamline our adoption process to make sure that these kids get loving homes and a permanent home.
Because we're going to run out of time on this in our segment, because we just don't have unlimited time. But I would say that, you know, here we have talked about just one fork in the road, right? Relative to, you know, something that was brought up on the stage yesterday.
Probably one of the most important moral forks in the world.
Well,
we are as a country.
Because I think from a spidering perspective, if you will, right? If you, and I listen, all I was saying relative to the state perspective of it is, is that at the state and local level, we need to get people's heads in the right place. Okay? They're not. They're not.
And that is a spiritual thing, without a doubt.
Until we get people back to him and his value system in our nation as a foundational platform. And I did appreciate that Vivek talked, you know, on numerous occasions about faith. You had Mike Pence that threw in, "I'm a Christian," except that I'm a Christian that doesn't support the Religious Freedom Restoration Act and believes that businesses ought to support sodomy. But hey, you know, go ahead, Mike, knock him out of there, you pervert. Anyway, because he did. He threw a pizza company, he threw a young couple under the bus in Indiana with his compromise on the Religious Freedom Restoration Act that he signed when he was the governor. And everybody forgets about that.
I didn't know anything about it.
Indiana passed a Religious Freedom Restoration Act. There was a pizza company there that had basically said, "We will not prepare pizzas for a sodomite wedding." Okay, they didn't say sodomite, but
Lori Smith 20 years ago.
But that's what they said. They would not do that. And so they had death threats. They literally ended up, it was some kind of mystery piece or whatever. But anyway, they had to close their doors and go into hiding. The legislature took that up in pushing that Religious Freedom Restoration Act, and in there was a provision that allowed businesses to be able to say, because of our Christian beliefs, we will not participate in that, and to have the right to do that. Mike Pence rejected that and sent it back to the legislation with the caveat to say, no, that you can't put that in there, I won't sign that.
I did not know that. I've always thought Mike Pence was one of the most honorable people ever to be serving in public service for my lifetime anyway. That's disappointing to hear.
Yeah, well, you could look it up. I encourage folks to look it up. But yes, Mike Pence sent it back and changed that provision so businesses in Indiana did not have the right to be able to follow their Christian conscience.
Wow. And then you have all these years later, Lori Smith and 303 Design being able to go all the way to the Supreme Court and say, no, I don't have to do that as a business owner. God bless her, from Colorado, good friend of mine.
Well, Masterpiece, you guys in Colorado also have Masterpiece Cakes.
That's exactly right. Bill Jack. Yeah. Bill Jack, Bill, I forget what his name is. But yes, both of those cases all the way to the Supreme Court.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, and then my friends Aaron and Melissa Klein and the fight that they fought. And unfortunately, our florist friend, who out in Washington, who lost everything and ultimately wasn't able to get her case into the Supreme Court and just had to settle over that situation and pay a fine.
Ridiculous. Thankfully, the Supreme Court stepped up and did the right thing. Hopefully, we won't see those kind of cases anymore.
Yeah. Well. Yeah. That's.
I don't think the left will give up.
No, they're not done. That wishful thinking right there. That they're definitely not done. Well, at the end of the day, I think you know the bottom line is we've got to get back to our godly, biblical, constitutional, moral foundation, and we need candidates, whoever they're going to be. Whether it's for national office or whether it's for statewide office or whether it's for local office, that are going to stand on those principles and support those things, because otherwise we will not be able to restore America.
And we need Christians to get out of the pews and start getting involved in politics.
Amen.
And getting involved not only in November, but throughout the entire election process to make sure that those solid Christian conservative candidates get through the primary process and become our nominees going up against the Democrats. Because we have way too many Christians sitting out of the political process because they don't think that that's the role of Christians. And there's a reason why our country's falling off the cliff. And it's not because the left is winning. It's not because Satan is winning. It's because Christians are sitting on the sidelines and not fighting for our righteous position in civic government.
Hear, hear. And we've run out of time, but I encourage you to go to stopjoe.com. And I also encourage you to go to our show archives, because yesterday I had a great conversation with a professor talking about the upheaval of 1968. And you want to talk about a Christian that was politically active that most people don't know about? Billy Graham. Billy Graham changed the direction of this country by his behind-the-scenes work between Lyndon Johnson and Richard Nixon in 1968. Pretty powerful information to have. And you're right, Christians need to step up. Thank you, Ted Harvey, for being a Christian who has stepped up.
Thank you, buddy. God bless. I appreciate you having me on.
Absolutely. My pleasure. All right, we're going to take our break. When I come back, I'm behind. They're going to be gone. The orphans are going to be wondering where I am. We're going to be in India coming up right after this brief break. I'm your host, Pastor Greg. I'll be right back.
Thanks, buddy. Sorry, yep. I derailed your interview.
No. We're good. Hang on one second. There's that.